Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Our special guest this morning is Nancy Kichek, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Ed Vitalis, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, Nancy.
Thank you.
Nancy, perhaps you can start by giving our listeners a general overview of the history and mission of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management.
Well, the Office of Personnel Management is very proud of its history. We're the successor agency to the Civil Service Commission, and the Civil Service Commission was created in 1883 to end the corrupt spoils system and to establish a merit-based civil service. The assassination of President James Garfield in 1881 by a disgruntled job seeker proved to be a crucial catalyst for civil service reform. One of the first commissioners of the Civil Service Commission, once it was established, was Theodore Roosevelt. He served for 6 years. If you come to the OPM building at 19th and E Street, you will see a display of a desk and a typewriter and other things used by the commissioners of the Civil Service Commission during his era. So we call our building the Theodore Roosevelt Building, and we are very proud of our association with President Theodore Roosevelt. In the late 1970s, there was a renewed impetus for the 20th century approach to civil service reform, leading to the Civil Service Reform Act. At that time, Congress approved Jimmy Carter's reorganization plan. The plan abolished the Civil Service Commission and divided the functions into two agencies, OPM and the Merit Systems Protection Board. OPM continues to serve in that capacity. Its mission is to ensure that the federal government has an effective civilian workforce. We accomplish our mission by providing human capital advice and leadership to the president and federal agencies, deliver human resource policies, products and services, and ensure compliance with merit system principles.
Nancy, can you give us a sense of how OPM is organized and give us a sense of the size of the budget, the number of full-time employees, and a sense of the geographic footprint and the interaction with other federal agencies on the matters associated with the federal workforce?
Okay. OPM has seven major divisions. The Strategic Human Resource Policy Division. We call ourselves SHARP, and that's the division I head. The Human Capital Leadership and Merit System Accountability Division, long name there. We call that HICALIMSA. The Human Resources Products and Services Division, the Federal Investigative Services Division, and the Management Services Division, the Chief Financial Officer, and the Human Resource Line of Business. Like every other agency, we also have a general counsel, congressional relations, communications. SHARP, again, the organization that I head, leads the design, development, and implementation of merit-based human resource policies. We provide direction on workforce planning, employment, pay, benefits, performance management, training policy, work-life programs, labor relations, anything in the HR arsenal. We also have government-wide information systems that we provide direction to. The Human Capital Leadership and Merit Systems Accountability Division leads the government-wide effort to transform human capital management so that agencies are held accountable for managing their workforce effectively, efficiently, and in accordance with merit systems principles. This division works closely with federal agencies, providing services, technical assistance, and current information across the range of human resource programs area.
Nancy, now that you've given us a good overview of what OPM does,
Could you just focus a little more on your own organization in terms of its size, budget, number of people that you have?
Okay. I have a very small organization within OPM. I only have about 175 people working for me. But 175 people can do a lot of work. Okay. We have the Center for Talent and Capacity, and those are the folks that develop policies for hiring. We've done such things lately as category rating that help agencies when they hire folks group the candidates into categories so that you don't have to pick the top three anymore. You pick from the top category. We have the Center for Workforce Relations and Accountability Policy folks. Those are the guys that work on our labor relations policy. And they've been very busy lately with the potential pandemic, talking about what rights managers have to direct people to work at home or direct people to work at alternative work sites. I have a policy division that works on HR systems requirements. And they tell other agencies how to maintain the official personnel record, what format it should be in, what data it should have. They've been very busy in the last year building requirements so that when we use other providers of HR services, they know exactly what requirements a provider must meet in order to sell their services to the federal government. I have a leadership policy division. I have a pay and leave policy division. Those are the ones that give the instructions on leave under all sorts of circumstances, including when the government closes for snow or when, just very recently, the death of President Ford, we honored him with a day of mourning. We have a division that works on performance management. You know, we've always done performance management in the federal government, but with new pay for performance systems, it's becoming more and more important that performance management be done well. I have a policy division that works on the policies for the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program and the retirement systems and other work-life programs, telework and things like that. And then I have my data folks, and that's where my actuaries are. They negotiate the health insurance rates, and they report government-wide how many people are employed, what occupation they're in. So it's 175 people that do a lot of work.
Quite a bit. Now that you've given us a good overview of OPM and then the Human Resources Policy Division, can you tell us a little bit about your career? Where did you start, and how did that path lead you to OPM?
I started with NASA. I'm one of those folks who took a civil service exam, and based on the score, I was offered a job as a contract negotiator with NASA. And I spent a year there, and it was an exciting place to work, but I had wanted to be an actuary. So after that year was up, I resigned my job at NASA and was going to work for a private company. And a person in the NASA organization who knew of my work came to me and said, you know, the government needs actuaries too. And my next door neighbor and I talk about this when I mow the grass. And they're looking for actuaries at the Civil Service Commission. Would you be interested? And of course, I already had a year in the government, and I liked government service. So I went to the Civil Service Commission 35 years ago and started studying to be an actuary. So I was the chief actuary at OPM until OPM reorganized and created the policy division about 4 years ago. And I was working there in charge of the entire data, not just the actuaries. And the head of policy became available, and I got the job, and I'm glad I did. So,
Nancy, I'm curious. You've had a fantastic career with government, but I always like to ask my guests, how has your previous experience, these 35 years, prepared you for your current leadership role and shaped your approach to management and your leadership style?
Mm-hmm. I think the fact that my main career prior to entering the policy field was in the actuarial field, a very highly financial-based, analytical-based profession, helped me a lot. First of all, one of the things that we're dealing with at OPM, and I think throughout the government right now, is a very constrained financial situation. So I am able, as a leader, to focus more on budget than maybe previous managers. The other thing is that coming out of the benefits area as an actuary, I'm bringing a fresh approach to the HR system. In other words, I know how government works because I've been there a long time. But when I look at HR policies and practices, it's new to me. So I have a different perspective than the folks who work for me who have a ton of experience. So new perspective from me and good knowledge from them, I think it's a very good situation.
What are the federal government's strategic human capital priorities? We will ask Nancy Kichuk, Associate Director, Strategic Human Resource Policy at the Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.